does. Wilco makes a run ahead of it. Bergkamp suddenly changed pace through the centre. It's Bergkamp! That's magnificent! The move, and then this, which left Dabby's ass totally stranded.
Hello, dear viewer and listener, and those of you doing neither, and welcome to a Bergkamp Wonderland on this Easter Sunday. It is for me, and I have got a, what is Sian getting me? A Bailey's Irish cream Easter egg, and I've eaten half of it because I'm a piggy. And my mum got me a box of 10 Cadbury's cream eggs. I'm on a diet. I don't know what I'm going to do. Do you celebrate? With me is the wonderful Mike Hertz from Not Another Arsenal podcast. Do you celebrate Easter over there, young man?
Yes, the family loves Easter. As a matter of fact, my mother-in-law is very big on it. So every single Easter Sunday, we are together doing the egg hunt, making sure
he said egg hunt. There, people, don't get the wrong idea. It wasn't a slip of the tongue. Sounds he isn't so calling close. Me an egg-headed something.
But yeah, we do it up big. Yeah, big plans for tomorrow. A lot of barbecue and a lot of fun. Every single Sunday, man. So big. I don't really quite get what's the big commotion about, Danny, when it comes to Easter. All this holiday cheer goes right over my head. But nonetheless, I participate. I have 49 kids, plus the wife, as you know.
That's a lot of egg.
A lot of eggs.
Yeah. So how have you been? I haven't spoken to you for a few weeks. There has been a few cancelled ABW podcasts. I was meant to have done one with the lads from Barnet FC because we all love a bit of Barnet FC, but they let me down at the last minute, which is okay because I'd been out all day. And so there's been a few cancelled. Have you been up to anything apart from having yourselves some branded mugs? Now that you're in the big time?
Brandon mugs, those are a staple for Not Another Arsenal podcast. We have done sweet fuck all, Danny. I'm gonna tell you, our podcast isn't exactly set up for the daily newsreel, if you will. And
yes,
you will be hard pressed finding me watching an international game of football outside of the World Cup. And even then, I'll tune in like the last eight. Not a huge fan of it. It disrupts the season. Like, based on the form that we were in, eight straight wins, the last thing I wanted to do was take 2 full weeks off to play Manchester City. So that kind of sucked. Yeah. But unfortunately, that's just how it played out. So as far as the podcast go, I have done absolutely nothing. As far as my personal life goes, Danny, you know me. All I do is work, sleep, play with the little ones, sleep some more. That's all I do. Lay low, Danny. That's my go-to. Lay low. Don't get in trouble.
Need to get little swines down the mines, get them digging cobalt for you or something, make them pay for themselves. And then
they're going to pay off sooner rather than later.
And then all will be good. Right. The game we're going to talk about is Man City v Arsenal. Here we go. My usual bullshit of stats and facts that no one gives a shit about. First of all, the game. It's Manchester City v Arsenal. Nice. The competition. Premier League. Also nice. The date, Sunday the 31st of March at 4:30 p.m. in London. It's 12:30 p.m. for Tom Andrew in Philadelphia. It's 11:30 a.m. for Cy in Dallas. It's 9:30 a.m. for Stan in Vancouver. It's 3:30 a.m. in Sydney. We haven't got anybody for Sydney, Australia yet. If you are, put it in the chat. It is 6:30 p.m. for Boy 10 Dio in Johannesburg, because our clocks don't go forward until this time tomorrow night, 1 a.m. And it's 10 p.m. in New Delhi, and it's 1:30 a.m. in Tokyo. If you are listening and you are in a part of the world other than the UK, let me know where you are. Just say, like, you're in I don't know, Sydney, Australia, and then I'll get your name. And next time I might pick your name and add it to the list of when and where things are on. So there you go. That's all the times. And for you, Mike, what time is kickoff?
Well, I was trying to, you confused me a little because you said Stan in Canada is 9:30. For me, it's 8:30. And normally we're on the same time, but maybe they don't have daylight saving times. So I don't know, but 8:30 a.m. for me. So I'm going to be up bright and early. I'm going to go do some work nonsense that I need to take care of. And by the time I get back, I will come back to a household with everybody sleeping, and I'm going to watch the game on my little iPad in a little corner and scream in silence for the full 90 minutes.
I'm going to struggle to be up for 4:30. That's how bad I am. So we say hello to some of the lovely people in the chat. There's our very own Phil Macca. He's looking a little bit like Morrissey there. Sad times, sad times. Evening, ladies. 3 points coming our way. There's you. And there's you again. And then there's Mike. And there's Nitsu Newbie. I don't know. We are the Arsenal. We are indeed. Englishman in Canada. Evening, everybody. Phil says, the lady I love most in the world bought me a large chocolate egg a week ago, and it's a miracle it still remains unbeaten. Well, that's lovely.
It's the woman that loves you the most. How about your wife? What did she get you?
He ain't got a wife. He's not allowed one after he killed the last one. Nitsu says, Kai Havertz score again. BX says, good evening, everybody. Did I have BX on my list? No, I haven't got him on my list. I've got Lone Star London in Austin, Texas. Got Mr. Hertz in San Jose and Graham Denton in Detroit. So I will add new people to the list. 9:30. Oh, no. You go down to there. Englishman in Canada says 9:30 start for game tomorrow. Arsenal, Calgary, Canada. Oh, so I'm going to do the Englishman in Canada. E-N-G-L-I-S-H in Canada. And he is in Calgary. C-A-L-G-A-R-Y. There you go. That's another one I've added to my list. Nitsus is so excited. BX says, BX is in Charlotte. Okay. BX Gunner. Charlotte. I did know that, I think. Calgary, Canada. Yeah, I've got that one. Nitsu says, America. Lovely. Miss Molina is there. Hello. Good to see you. And Englishman says, Canada changed the times ahead of America for some reason. So we're out of sync for a few weeks. Yeah, ours is tomorrow night. That's all the people we got there. Haven't we? According to the thing we have, when you do your shows, do you do them to Twitter at the same time?
Yes, I try to plug that in. I'm a personal on Nap.
Have you noticed that the counter in the top left-hand corner is off its trolley? We had over 1,000 people watching on Twitter the other day. We didn't.
Yeah, I choose to believe that's true. So I'm loving it right now. So yeah, big views for me as of recent. You know, really spiked up from our average 12 to like 200 and something. I like it, Danny. I'll take it.
Yeah. Over 1,000 for one of ours, and I completely ignore it because it's off its trolley. Right, so the next thing we can where is it on? What channels are here? Absolutely nobody asking. TNT Sports, which used to be BT Sports, which used to be Santander in England. I'm sure it's on BBC Radio 5 or TalkSport. I couldn't find out which one it was on. Players out injured. Julian Timber, we all know about. And have you heard about I've renamed them. We've got Gabriel the defender, Gabriel the winger, and Gabriel the striker. But this one is the defender, the winger, and Saka. And a quote from our very own Mr. Arteta says, when pressed on whether the trio would be fit for the trip to the Etihad Stadium on Sunday, Mikel admitted he is leaving it until the last possible moment to make that call. Does that make or break our possibilities of winning, do you think?
I'll be completely honest with you, Danny. If it makes or break, as far as their percentage of possibility of winning, yeah, it's massive. Saka, Martinelli, or Gabriel can't start the game. However, I don't believe that for one second, Danny, to be completely honest with you.
Is he playing games?
Mind games. And even the training pictures that came out that Arsenal Twitter published, no Saka, no Gabriel the defender, no Gabriel the winger. And no. I'm not convinced that they didn't train, Danny. That's what I can tell you. So I think there's a lot of mind games going on, a lot of keeping your cards close to yourself. Even Akanji and Ederson, I believe, are labeled as like late fitness tests. Again, I'm completely surprised, to be honest with you, that Pep Guardiola confirmed Stones and I don't know what that is. That's a half egg. I'm surprised that Pep Guardiola confirmed that Stones and Walker is out. I thought he was going to play the old late fitness testing, but maybe has a little bit too much for respect for Arteta. But as far as our two lovely Brazilians and our star boy Bukayo Saka, I think most likely, man, they were doing fine prior to it. I know that Martinelli, realistically, he was just out of the Brazilian squad because of the cut. It's been a few weeks now. I'm pretty sure that cut must be healing up nice. So it's just about a little bit of game fitness. So I think we should see them. Maybe this might be the first time in a very long time that we have nearly a full strength starting 11. And I say nearly because depends on how you rate Mr. Kivior, of course.
I know people. I've known people to recover in that length of time from shark bites. So, and that's when they lose limbs. So I think he'll be fine. Si, did you listen to the beginning of the show? If you didn't, go and have a little listen. You might well have been included in the kickoff times. Nitsu Newbie says, do you play George E at 6? We're going to come to that a little bit later on. Lone Star, I've got your details down there. I didn't do you in the kickoff time things. That barn, it looks like a bird's nest. Not mine. He means yours. And Phil says, Arteta press conferences are a joke these days. Yeah, it doesn't answer anything. Miss Molina is saying hello to everybody. No hat in your picture. I think you're known for your hats, Molina. You always have a very nice nice hat. I do like a good hat. We tried to get Mike to wear a hat, but it took three people to get all that hair under the hat, and then the hat just flew off, so he gave up.
Too windy in California right now.
It smells troubles to sigh. So let's have a little look back at how many games do you reckon we have played against Mank Shitty, as I'm going to call them, ever in all competitions?
Ever? Well, dude, they spent a lot of times in second division, haven't they?
And some in the third. It wasn't that long ago that ex-Arsenal player Paul Dickov scored the goal that got I think it won them the League One playoff final at Wembley. And I think he might have scored the goal. I'm sure it was him.
Best part of that name is that I don't know if you're just teasing me or if that's a real name because it has
Paul Dickov. Yeah, Scottish. Yeah, he was a youth player at Arsenal. Yeah, D-I-C-K-O-P.
80 times is my prediction.
You're close. It's 210. We've won 100.
How am I close?
They've won 45, and we've won 100, drew 45, and they've won 65. What year do you reckon the first ever time we played them was?
I think I have that one fresh in my memory because you did send me the thing, and I didn't even pay attention to how many games. What was it, the 50s, Danny?
Yeah, it was. It was the 50s. It was 1893. Well done for listening. The 11th of November, 1893, Woolwich Arsenal won. Ardwick nil in Division 2 because they used to be known as Ardwick. Don't ask me why. I have no idea. Last three games, Mike. Have you got a strong drink there while I read out the last three games against City at their ground? What have you got? What drink?
Shoot, just beer. Just a nice Modelo.
You have a little swig of that and try and hold back the tears. The last time we played them at their ground was the 26th of April, 2023. They smashed us 4-1 in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, the 27th of January, 2023, they beat us 1-0 in the FA Cup. And the time before that, the 28th of August, 2021, they smashed us 5-0 in the league. We're going to move on from that. Or have you got anything you'd like to say?
Other than depression, nothing. Yeah. I'll say this, Danny, for whatever it's worth. I think context matters. And I'm a big believer in some people are like, hey, we struggle at this ground 2001, so we're going to struggle 2002. We're going to struggle 2003. I like to believe that every single season is a new opportunity. So the context of the club, how the club standing is, the context of the squad that we have, the health of the squad, all these play a factor. So personally, I'm not one of those type of people that say, oh, we've lost six. We're definitely going to lose. I'm kind of like, all right, we're due. That's my mentality. But I do think that every opportunity is a new opportunity when we go and play. And again, like I said a little while ago, it's a fit squad and a first time in a very long time. And so I'm really excited to see this because I know that being a little hard on Rob Holding and the performance that he had the last time out, but I mean, Gabriel Saliba, Haaland has able to accumulate 0.00 XG the last two times they played. So if we have our two big boys in the back, makes me feel considerably more confident, I'll say. Look at that beautiful thing.
For people at home on the bus and having a poo, that is the XG difference in the Premier League this season. Arsenal are on a about 42, 41. And then Man City are on about 33, Liverpool 32. And the next one down is Aston Villa on about 12 or 13. And that is pretty astounding. And Sheffield United on about minus 35. So coming up to number of goals is a relevant point for this bit. Mikel Arteta's record against Man City, played 11, all competitions. He's won 3. He's never drawn against them, and he's lost 8. And so his record against Pep is exactly the same because he's been manager the whole time. Pep's record against Arsenal for every club he's managed, played 29, won 20, drawn 3, and lost 6. Now, if we have a look at the current form, which is leads on to that XG, Arsenal have played 5, won 5, scored 23, conceded 2. Man City played 5, won 3, drawn 2, scored 7, compared to our 23 and conceded 3 compared to our 2. I mean, any fool know that you look at them stats and that says at least a 6-0 win for us, doesn't it? It's got to win. People, while I remember, put your predictions in the chat in case some of you aren't here for the entire show. I want you to put Man City and then the score and then Arsenal, because when I read it all out later, it makes it a lot easier. Don't just put 3-0. If you could, so the home team score, then the away team. Don't put home team and away team, you fucking idiots, because that will annoy me. Mike, yeah, looking at those stats, 23 goals scored in five, or maybe is that 6? I think that might be in 6 games. It is indeed in 6. So that would be, I remember now when I was looking at it. So in the last 5 games, I think that would be 18 in 5. Yes, I got a little bit carried away.
I'll take it. Just tag on the next one. Those fives are already taken into account what we're going to score versus City tomorrow. We're doing really good. And it's difficult to see City and say they're weak because of how good they are. They always manage to get through games. But yeah, I mean, if you want to hold on to something and have some type of optimism, you know, they haven't looked all that incredibly dominant the last few games. And Arsenal, whatever happened in Dubai, it's just recharged their batteries, and they haven't just beaten teams, they've actually dominated teams. So it's a lot of encouraging stats to look at, Danny, and it's really difficult to keep your hopes in check, I'm going to say. You know, it's always the hopes that kills you when it revolving sports. So here we are, just kind of hoping for something epic. You know, I was just discussing with you prior to the podcast starting that Manchester City has not lost at home since late 2022. They haven't failed. They've failed to score. The last time they failed to score was late 2021. So still no pushover. You know, whatever, you know, mode of Manchester City that you could think of, and you could look at them and say, hey, maybe they're a little weak, they're still a force to be reckoned with at home. Another interesting stat that I dug up by accident was they haven't lost at home since 2018, which, you know, future casting a potential semifinal versus them. My goodness, what an uphill battle. So confident, more confident than the last couple of years, but definitely not nervous. I'll say that.
I'm just counting here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 30. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In the last 40 home Premier League games, they've lost 1, and that was a 2-1 loss to Brentford. They drew against Liverpool. They drew against Everton. Again, they've drawn 4 out of their last 9. They drew against Palace, Spurs, Liverpool and Chelsea, and they only beat Brentford 1-0. So there is a chance there. They're not exactly the team that they were last season, dominating with Haaland banging in hat-tricks and back-to-back-to-back games. But we've got some predictions coming in the chat there. We've only got 6-7 predictions, people. We need more predictions. Russ? Oh, Russ has put his one in there. Who hasn't? Melina has. You haven't done your one, but I'll come to yours in a minute. Nitsu, I don't think you've put your one in there, have you? Paul Nell's here, not Neil. Need a prediction off you, Paul. And Nitsu, if you're still here.
Has Matt? Oh, yeah, Matt's there too. Okay.
Oh, you people drive me nuts. 2-1 to the good. Paul. Makes it so much harder for my raggled old brain to get that the right way round. But I'll give it a go. I'm nothing if not determined. Paul says, it's always good to see you. Isn't that nice of him?
So nice.
Yes, and Tony is saying hello to people as well. Now then, if we have a little look at the lineups, what ones have we got? Let's have a look. I've only got three that I keep here. Are we going to go? It's going to be the same back five all the time. Do you think he's going to bring Zinchenko in, considering Kivior has had such a great time at left back?
No, I'm a big believer on the whole match fitness thing mattering a lot to Mikel Arteta. So for the same reason, I don't think Partey is going to drop in. But let me get to the Partey thing. Let me expand on that a little bit.
Go on.
I was pleasantly surprised to see that he got minutes during QPR, where, you know, granted they lost 4-0, but it was Tomiyasu and Partey getting valuable fitness minutes, and I do think that plays a part in the potential selection. But I feel like it would be drastic, but Danny, Partey was in that lineup when we managed to beat them for the Community Shield, if my memory serves me correctly. And what I've been waiting for the entirety of the whole season was Partey at the base, Trossard on the left eight. Rice left eight and Udogaard on the right. So fitting in Partey would be an absolute surprise. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it is going to be Jorginho playing deep, because thus far he's played most of our biggest games of every season. He seems to have all the know-how, the wits, the dark arts. You know, he's composed. He knows how to cut through lines. So I think he's an excellent player to have at the base.
So you are going to go for Jorginho in the holding defensive midfield role. I take it you're going to go for Rice and Ødegaard next to him. Now, Martinelli coming back from an injury, or are you going to pick Trossard on the left wing?
I'm thinking Trossard is going to be the player that starts. Yeah, okay. Just going back on my whole theory of match fitness and whatnot, I think he's going to be the guy that starts. And thus far, he's been good. He's a good substitute to have. Out of all the positions that Trossard ends up playing, I'm gonna say the left wing is my favorite, because between left eight, false nine, striker, whatever you want to call it, and wing, I think he does well there. And he seems to be, you know, he's the grown up of the thing, of the front three, where he's like not so much fancy movement and whatnot, but he's very clinical and very potent in front of goal. So yeah, I think Trossard's gonna get the nod.
Paul Nell brings up a point here. Now that Jesus, the striker, is now back, or Jesus, the forward, do you think that he says here, curious if it would be Jesus or Lil Gabby on the wing? What is the future this season and oncoming seasons or future seasons for Jesus? Because he's shown he isn't the goal scorer that we need. He gets bullied when he's playing up front. He's constant knee injuries and ankle injuries and leg injuries. He is not suited for the rough and tumble up front. So do you think we're going to keep him playing wide and he will come on for Saka, or more likely for Martinelli? Has he got a future at the club, or is he going to be doing anything for the rest of this season? Because we've only got 10 league games to go.
Okay. First, addressing Gabriel Jesus on the left wing, I don't know if my perspective of him is not being explosive or willing to take on players with some speed. And maybe I have this like convoluted notion of what a winger should play or how they should play. There's something about Gabriel Jesus on the flanks that I don't like. I know he's done it before, kind of like makeshift when he has to like get forced in there, but that's the last place I want to see him on the pitch. I'll almost go full crazy with Mike McDonald to suggest that I would rather see him at left eight than as a winger for us. But as far as the future holds for Gabriel Jesus, I think he's going to stick around at the club. There's a lot of love for him. He still provides a lot when he does manage to play. But unfortunately, thus far, his injuries have been proving that he might not be as reliable of a player that we're expecting. Now, I think currently his head-to-head is Kai Havertz. On current form, I can't see Kai Havertz dropping back into the midfield, maybe in very specific occasions. But I just don't see how you drop Kai right now, center forward. And Danny, I'll tell you this. I'm not right about a lot very often. As I like to say, I know shit about fuck. However, Kai Havertz, when we signed him and they were promoting him as a midfielder, I just didn't understand it. I kept on thinking to myself, no, he's going to play in the front three. He's going to play in the front three. He can finish. And I often joke around that his finishing often seems a little clumsier, but he just has a knack of being in the right place at the right time. So if it's up to me, I'm looking at Kai Havertz. He's going to continue to start on current form. He can't be dropped. Gabriel Jesus, I'm sure we'll get game time. There's, you know, Champions League games and a bunch of games coming up in a very congested calendar. But I think he sticks around, Danny. I think Gabriel Jesus, Kai, and potentially, I don't know, they keep on floating around the potential of signing a striker. But I'm one of those, like, unpopular opinion, if you like, Danny. I would prioritize a midfielder and a right winger before we bring in a striker. I don't know the club finances. I don't know if they can bring in three players. I'm just, if I'm ranking who I want to bring in, it's a right midfielder for a right winger first, a midfielder second, and a striker third.
I'd get Jesus out of the club as soon as possible. 26 games this season, 8 goals, 5 assists, all competitions. Not good enough. He has missed 21 Premier League games in 2 seasons. Not good enough. This season, 4 goals in 19 Premier League games. Not good enough. Last season, 11 in 26 Premier League games. Barely good enough for the amount of money that he cost us. Go on.
Do you put any stock on the Champions League form thing? Because there's something unexplainable going on. I saw some stat floating around, and I might be off.
Six.
Yeah, I might be off a little bit, but I think it was like Gabriel Jesus in league, Gabriel Jesus versus Champions League. And like you said, 4-6 in Champions League and 4-21, I think, in league. So I can't explain to you the difference. Maybe you could make the argument that teams in Europe play a little bit more, you know, expanded versus us and are willing to attack us, any team that's not Porto. But there's something about the Champions League, man. Like every time he plays, he scores, or at the very least, he's a menace. So do you put any like stock in that, or you just think it's purely coincidental that he's managed to score at such a higher rate in the Champions League versus the league?
There is a question there. So looking at the stats, he's got, it is odd, he's got 4-6 in the Champions League. He's got 4-19 in the Premier League. That does not make sense. And I do not know a reason why. There you go. If anyone has a reason to do, let us know. BX says Jesus has a role to play. People, anymore? We have got 9 predictions so far. Your predictions will be going on a YouTube is it Reels, and Instagram one, and we're on Twitter, we're on TikTok now. One of our TikToks got 365 views. The rest of them all got 1.
Yeah, I fell asleep watching that one, Danny. That explains that.
It's only 32 seconds long, so that doesn't say very much about your ability to stay awake when you are working all the hours that there are in the world.
So true.
So if you are on TikTok, go and have a look for @_Bergkamp_Wonderland. Unfortunately, some people have followed us, and I've only got the desktop app because I will not have TikTok on my phone, because those little buggers, they'll get in my phone and they'll winkle out all my information. I'm not having it. So the 3 people that have followed us, Matt Roberts, Danny, and someone called Sean. I've tried to click and follow back. Doesn't let me. So we're not ignoring you. But if you are on TikTok, go and have a look. You might go, oh, that was possibly the best 35 seconds I have spent in quite a considerable length of time. 315 views. It got not 365. Talking nonsense again. So we will be putting out all your predictions in here. So then we will, yeah, that'll be good. We can laugh at you tomorrow when we get them all completely and utterly wrong. Anything else we want to talk about, Mike, before we go on to the predictions and end this wonderful show of me eating chocolate and listening to you saying wise things?
Wise things. That's very kind of you. I'm just going to say that I think it's important for our season that we manage to, even if it's a draw, it's important, I believe, to get out of the Eddie Howe with some face, like not be completely dominated. And this is the first time in a very long time that I'm feeling confident that they won't overrun us. Like they won't humiliate us like Brentford humiliated Manchester United today. In case you didn't know, Danny, United managed to concede 31 shots versus Brentford.
I had no idea.
I think you were sleeping. They managed to go look at the stats. You've been talking about stats. You have yourself a good laugh. The XG is ridiculous. 31 shots conceded versus them. And after the presser that Ten Hag came up with, is City also struggled versus Brentford. So their club is wobbly and a little crazy, to say the least. But getting back to the Arsenal, I think it's really important to make a massive statement. And this might be unpopular in a very short-term type of news thing in Twitters because everybody likes to overreact. I don't think a loss at the Etihad tomorrow equals Arsenal cannot win the league.
Yeah. That is we shouldn't be losing anyway. This is a game that we should be going to, and the stats say we can win it. We've beaten them twice this season, beat them in the league at home. We beat them in the Charity Shield. I will not have anybody say anything negative about the Charity Shield because it's one more trophy that Spurs haven't won and are never going to get anywhere near, because you have to be a winner to be in a competition like that. There's only two teams in it. But I still take it. Lone Star Londoner says, Man United have faced more shots in the Premier League this season, 498, than Man City and Arsenal have combined, 464.
That is brilliant.
Paul says he'll catch us tomorrow. Deke isn't on tomorrow. Deke is working, and so he won't be able to watch the game, and then he's off to have a little bit of time off. So it is our very own Femi. He will be joining us about a quarter of an hour after the game. Me and Femi having a chit chat. So it should be good. So that's it. Right. It's your last chance, people. You've got 30 seconds to get your predictions in the chat if you haven't already done it. Every single one that you have done, I have got. So I've got Melina, Phil, Russ, Lone Star, the Matt Hatter, BX, Tony, Paul, and Englishman in Canada. I've got 9 predictions at the moment. It says here that there is 136 of you watching on Twitter. There isn't. There's probably 2. And if anybody hasn't done it, hey?
I said I'll allow it. We're going with that number, Danny. You know what's the fun part is I actually stream to both my personal and the podcast account. So my numbers look tremendous. I mean, it'll be double. So if we're at 162 on Twitter, I'd be at what, 3-something. So nearly 400 something. So I like that maths, if you will.
Right. I'm going to do the predictions. And when I'm finished reading out predictions, Mike, I need you to quickly and concisely give me your prediction and nothing else, because this needs to be done in 45 seconds. And you know me, with saying words, I will muck them up. And so a little bit of silence before I do it and a little bit of silence after. And then I will use that. I will cut that as a clip. So here we go. Predictions for Manchester City v Arsenal on Sunday in the Premier League. Miss Molina has gone 2-1 the Arsenal. Phil Macca, 3-0 the Arsenal. Russ Morgan has gone 1-1. Lone Star Londoner has gone 1-0 Arsenal. The Matt Hatter, 2-1 Arsenal. BX Gunner has gone 3-1 the Arsenal. Tony Anastasi has gone 2-2 with Saka score draw. Would probably take it. I've gone too far with that. Paul Neil has gone 2-1 the Arsenal. Englishman in Canada has gone 2-1 the Arsenal. Mike, what are you going for?
I'm going with Manchester City 2, Arsenal 2.
I'm going for Man City 1, Arsenal 1. And there you go.
Lovely.
Good luck, everybody. And there you go. That's it. I will go and cut that later. And tomorrow, if you lot remind me, I will play it during the show. If you don't remind me, we won't do it, because I have a memory like a sieve, because, quite frankly, I'm very, very old. BX says it's 3 points to the Gunners. Russ says, pray silence, please, for the Electric Light Orchestra. Hello. Hello. Phil says, I dare you to say boo halfway through, Mike. Too late. Spurs won the title in August Cup, of course. Yes, he did, with their wonderful fake Australian manager. He's not even Australian.
Undefeated the first three games of the season. Quite accomplishment.
Lone Star says, these two sitting on the fence. I was going to go 1-0 Man City win, but I didn't want to be negative on Easter Sunday because baby Jesus wouldn't like that. And nor would any of the Jesuses that play for the Arsenal.
And I don't want to be clipped as the guy that was too overconfident. So, like, you know how they do those YouTuber compilations after a loss or something? They're like, Oh, this deluded guy said... I don't want to be that guy, Lone Star. So I play defense when it comes to these predictions. So I'm 90% of the time, I'm going for a draw.
Good. Right, that's it. We said it would be half an hour. We've done 35 minutes. That is the shortest overrun Mr. Hertz has ever done in his long and distinguished podcasting career. So well done to you and to everybody watching. So, Mike, tell these lovely listeners where they can find you and your cohorts of doom and destruction. I don't know why I said that. That's just the words that come in my head. I can't help it.
You could find him very seldomly and very sporadically on the Gooners podcast with Magic Mike, Andy, Owen, Asin, and Jared Carver, who is every podcaster's favorite podcaster. I have a podcast of my own that I host called Not Another Arsenal Podcast every Tuesday night, every Wednesday morning, I guess, for the UK listeners. We're back. If you go over there and if you enter on and decide to like, subscribe, something in that nature, don't worry about the lack of videos. As I said earlier in the podcast, we don't do a whole lot during international break because, quite frankly, I don't like international break. So we will be back 100% Tuesday to review the Manchester City versus Arsenal game, and we are hoping for the best.
Oh. Lovely and jubbly. Right, people, we'll be back quarter of an hour after tomorrow afternoon, evening, morning's game, depending on where in the world that you are. Thank you very much for watching. And here, have an outro. Should we have Steve and Dave, or do we should tease it and go Anfield 89?
I like Anfield 89, Danny. We need the motivation. We're sitting on the fence, so you got to tell Lone Star, you got to show Lone Star that we're not sitting on the fence.
You hairy little tease, you. Well, here it is. Goodbye.
Out it goes to Lee Dixon. Long ball from Lee Dixon. Smith will hold it up. Plays it square to Thomas. And Thomas has got inside Nicol. And Thomas is there. And Thomas has scored for Arsenal. In injury time, Michael Thomas has scored for Arsenal. A ball played through the gap. Thomas was there. He held off two challenges. Kept his head. By my watch, we are a minute and a half into injury time, and Michael Thomas may have won the championship for Arsenal.